Top stories this hour, the U.S. Federal Reserve warns the debt ceiling row is putting global confidence in the United States at stake. South Africa accuses NATO of abusing the UN resolution and carrying out political assassinations in Libya. Also this hour, human rights activists say the U.S.-backed regime in Bahrain has begun the trial of hundreds of protesters.
It is midnight in Pretoria and 6 p.m. in New York. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, in the U.S., the chairman of the Federal Reserve has warned that failure to raise the federal government's debt ceiling might damage investor confidence in the American economy.
Failing to raise the debt limit would require the federal government to delay or renege on payments for obligations already entered into. In particular, even a short suspension of payments on principal or interest on the Treasury's debt obligations would cause severe disruptions in financial markets in the payment system, induce rating downgrades of U.S. government debt, create fundamental doubts about the creditworthiness of the United States, and damage the special role of the dollar and of Treasury securities in global markets in the longer term.
Yes, President Barack Obama has also warned of another economic meltdown if Congress fails to raise the federal government's debt limit. However, Obama says he has the word of Republican leaders that they want to avoid such a situation. The Obama administration is edging closer and closer to an August 2nd deadline to raise the debt ceiling. The White House risks defaulting on its obligations in case no agreement on the issue is reached with the Republicans.
In the U.S., President Barack Obama has received a deadline from the Republicans to explain American military operations in Libya. Republican House Speaker John Boehner has criticized Obama for not seeking congressional approval of the U.S. operations in Libya. Boehner says the president must provide a clear justification for committing troops to the mission by Friday. This comes 2 weeks after the House passed a non-binding resolution urging Obama to provide detailed information about the U.S. involvement in Libya. Republicans say Obama's move violates the War Powers Resolution, which only allows the president to use force in response to an attack on the U.S. The 1973 Act is aimed at curtailing U.S. presidents' ability to deploy forces overseas.
South African President Jacob Zuma has accused NATO of misusing the UN resolution on Libya. Zuma says the resolution, which is meant to protect civilians, is being abused for political assassinations and foreign military occupation. He also accused NATO of undermining the African Union's efforts to find a solution to the crisis in Libya. South Africa has consistently slammed the Western-led airstrikes in the country, despite voting for the establishment of a no-fly zone there. Last month, Zuma also led a delegation to Tripoli with an AU peace proposal. The delegation, however, failed to close the gap between Libyan ruler Muammar Gaddafi and opposition groups.
Meanwhile, two huge blasts have rocked the Libyan capital, Tripoli, once again. Reports say the blasts at the east of Tripoli. Witnesses say plumes of smoke and a fire can be seen. NATO aircraft were heard flying over the city soon after the explosions. Libyan state television says the Fernag district has been hit by the Western military lines, but it gave no details about the targets or any possible casualties. NATO has been pounding Libya for over 3 months now. The country's capital has recently become a major target. The Bahraini government says it has begun trying 22 people over their role in anti-government protests.
Well, opposition groups and rights activists, however, say hundreds of people are on trial. The military trials come amid allegations of torture and claims that the proceedings are unfair and politically motivated. Among those on trial are dozens of medical staff arrested for treating wounded protesters. A number of defendants allege they have been tortured in detention and forced to sign confessions. Meanwhile, a political activist has died shortly after being released from a prison in Manama. Witnesses say Jabir Ibrahim al-Alawiyat was severely tortured by the regime forces in detention. Separately, activists say Bahrain's Polytechnic University has dismissed scores of students for political statements they posted on the internet. So far, the government has dismissed or suspended almost 2,000 people from work.
People across Yemen have held mass rallies demanding the formation of a transitional council and the trial of Ali Abdullah Saleh and his aides. Well, the protests are the largest since Saleh left for neighboring Saudi Arabia for treatment of injuries received in an attack in early June in the capital, Sana'a. Tens of thousands of protesters have crowded outside the home of acting President Abid Rabbo Mansour Had. They want him to immediately form a ruling transitional council. Otherwise, they said they would act unilaterally. The protesters also want the total overhaul of the political system as well as the trial of Saleh. They hold Saleh responsible for the killing of hundreds of people since anti-government rallies began in February. Meanwhile, there are conflicting reports about Saleh's fate following the attack on his palace earlier this month. Some media outlets quoting Israeli and European sources claim Saleh is dead. However, a Saudi source says he is alive but in bad shape and not fit to retake the helm as president. Yemen's official news agency is quoting Saleh as telling Saudi King Abdullah that his health is improving. He is now receiving treatment at a hospital in Saudi Arabia. This after suffering injuries during a rocket attack on his residence in Sana'a.
The violence in Syria has entered a new phase as the army takes control of Jisr al-Shughur. The northwestern border city has recently been the scene of heavy clashes between the army and what Syria calls foreign-sponsored armed groups. Here's a closer look.
The Syrian army uncovers a mass grave full of mutilated bodies of security forces. They were killed and buried by what Damascus has called armed groups in Jisr al-Shughur. Syria says the unrest is part of a U.S.-Israeli plot to cause civil war in the country. The unrest started in the city of Dar'a, where protests against the government erupted and soon turned violent. Following the protests in Dar'a near the Jordanian border, the Syrian TV aired footage of captured weapons and confessions by people allegedly arrested for opening fire on both the protesters and security forces in the area. The unrest then spilled over into Banyas and Talkeh near the Lebanese border. Syria has officially accused Lebanon's March 14th parliamentary faction of sending arms and other hardware to create tension in the region. Damascus also pointed the finger at the Future Movement, which is affiliated to the March 14th faction and one of its key figures, Jamal Jarrar. However, the unrest did not stop in Banyas and Talkeh. It soon spread to Idlib and Jisr al-Shughur near the Turkish border. Syrian authorities have also charged that armed groups have smuggled large-caliber weapons into its territory from Turkey. Last week, 120 Syrian security forces were killed in what Damascus called an ambush by the armed groups in the Jisr al-Shughur region. There have also been unconfirmed reports that Turkey sought to create a breakaway region in the area similar to Benghazi in Libya, and that the CIA chief recently made a secret visit to Turkey and its border with Syria. Observers say the next wave of violence is expected to take place in Deir el-Zor, which is close to Iraq's border. Meanwhile, the Western and Arab media have consistently accused Iran and Hezbollah of being involved in the operations to bring the situation under control in Syria, a charge that both have vehemently denied. The protesters in Syria say they want political reforms. In the early days of the protests, the Syrian government pledged to implement reforms, a promise that largely remains unfulfilled. The Syrian security officials have also come under criticism for their mishandling of the situation. All told in Syria, one thing has led to another, bringing the kind of chaos in which nothing is as it seems. From the deaths of large numbers of people during pro-reform protests to mass slaughters of Syrian troops and security forces, all carry the hallmarks of a scheme cooked up outside of Syrian borders.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. The U.S. Federal Reserve warns the debt ceiling row is putting global confidence in the United States at stake. South Africa accuses NATO of abusing the UN resolution and carrying out political assassinations in Libya. And human rights activists say the U.S.-backed regime in Bahrain has begun the trial of hundreds of protesters.